Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Acts, where we've been following Paul's farewell to the elders of Ephesus. And now as we pick up with part two of None of These Things Move Me, we'll be picking up in Acts chapter 20, verse 25, as we're being encouraged to not be distracted by the obstacles that creep into our lives, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so he says, in verse 25, and indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Boy, I can really identify with the apostle here, and I would imagine the emotions that were stirring, not only in him, but in that crowd that was gathered at that time. They had been together. Paul had been with them for three solid years, and he had taught them publicly. He had been in their homes. He was, you know, in many ways their father in the faith. And now he says, I know that we're never going to see each other again. I could imagine that he was choked up, to say the least, when he said that. I have myself had to say goodbye to two churches, and to this date, those particular days that I did that in both of those churches are probably the two hardest days I've ever faced in ministry, emotionally for sure. To have to get up to, you know, a congregation of people that I've been connected with for so long and to say, you know, not necessarily I'll never see your face again, but, you know, I'm not going to be your pastor anymore. And man, I know how gut-wrenching that is. I'll never forget when we were in London. A couple of the young guys that came to the church early on. I'll never forget after about a year and a half of being there and, you know, just having a great bond with them. And we were sitting down one evening and we were talking. And Robert was just expressing his heart on something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he said, the British term is being gutted, you know, and that means, you know, you're just emotionally just, you know, it's a devastating thing. He said, and he compared whatever it was, I can't remember, but he compared it to something like, and he said, if I came to church and Pastor Brian told me he was leaving, and I'll never forget, 2.5 years later, I had to stand up and do that very thing. And that was in my mind as I was, you know, just remembering what he said. And it was indeed a gut-wrenching time, but I can really identify with Paul here. And it must have been a hard thing for him to do. But yet, at the same time, there was that sense that God was calling him. And you know, God does call us. He calls us sometimes to leave the comfort zone. Sometimes he calls us to leave our family. Sometimes he calls us to leave our friends. Sometimes he calls us to leave everything that we're comfortable with and everything that we might have known. And he calls us to go off and do something for him. But here's the great thing. Even if we never saw each other's faces again on earth, we've got a reunion coming in heaven. You see? And that's what we can always look forward to. That's what we can always be excited about. And I'm sure that that truth was part of what brought consolation to all of them at this point. But he says, you will not see my face anymore. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The prophet Ezekiel, God spoke to Ezekiel and he commanded him to speak to the people. And the Lord said, if you refuse to speak to the people and they don't turn from their sin, then their blood is going to be upon your head. He said, but if you speak to them and they still don't turn, then you're free and clear. Their blood is upon their own head. And I think Paul is probably thinking of Ezekiel when he makes this declaration here. I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. So Paul taught them the scriptures. He taught them everything that they needed to know. He didn't leave any issue hanging. He addressed the whole gamut of the counsel of God. And of course, that's the model that has been set for us, and that's what we've been seeking to do. That's certainly what Pastor Chuck has done for so many years, faithfully. The whole counsel of God, Genesis to Revelation, over and over and over and over again. And that's what we're supposed to do. And it would be a great day if the church started doing that again, the church in general, because that's, to a large degree, the problem within the Christian church today is people aren't getting the whole counsel of God. They're getting, you know, whatever the preacher happens to fancy. You know, if he's got a pet doctrine, there's whole ministries that all they ever talk about is faith and prosperity and how faith leads to prosperity. They never talk about anything else. They have shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to the people before them. And there are those who, you know, talk about family. And every address has to do with family matters and family issues. It's an important issue, but it certainly doesn't cover the whole counsel of God. And there are those that are negligent because they're just concentrating on this, you know, one thing. So some people talk about election. It's all they ever want to talk about, election and the 5 points and reformed theology and all of that sort of thing. And they're not giving the whole counsel of God. The task of a faithful minister is to give God's people his word in its entirety, the whole counsel of God. And now Paul says in verse 28, he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. Remember, he's speaking to the elders of the church. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Notice the order. Paul says, therefore, take heed, first of all, to yourselves. I must take heed to myself before I can really take heed to the flock. In other words, I have got to be right with God. I've got to be seeking the Lord. I have to myself be doing these things, and then I can effectively minister to the flock. But there's a big temptation in the ministry to concentrate, you know, on the flock to the neglect of our own souls, those of us who are elders, those of us who are in positions of leadership. And it's a constant battle. It's a constant battle to stop and say, okay, I've got to take a step back and I have got to take heed to myself here. And I think as we sort of survey the landscape and you see some casualties out there, some ministry casualties, a lot of times you can trace it back to a failure of those men to take heed to themselves. They got so wrapped up in the ministry. They got so wrapped up in just the mechanics of it. And it just became, you know, the routine. And it was what it was all about. And they forgot about their own souls. We must take heed to our own souls first. All of us, regardless of what our particular calling is. But here he goes on and he says to them, he says that they are to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Boy, the value of the church, purchased with the most precious thing in all the universe. The church is priceless. The blood of Christ is priceless. But Paul says to them, he says, shepherd the flock. And as he's reminding them that God purchased the church with his blood, he would, of course, be, you know, laying the seriousness of the matter upon them. This is a heavy, heavy responsibility. Not one to cower back from, but one to take soberly and to realize, I've got to be committed to this. But this idea of shepherding the church of God, I think it includes three things. And for any of you that might at some time be thinking about maybe pastoral kind of ministry or something like that, maybe you have somewhat of a desire in your heart. Maybe you've thought that, you know, perhaps the Lord would lead me into that someday. He might very well do that. But let me give you three things real quickly that I think sum up what Paul's talking about here when he says to shepherd the church of God. It involves three things. First of all, it involves feeding them, which we've just talked about, really. Giving them the whole counsel of God. The shepherd feeds the flock. And so our primary responsibility is to nurture God's people through his word. Secondly, the shepherd is to tend to the flock. And that would, I think, sort of imply that personal touch. You know, as pastors, we're not to be merely teachers. Pastors have a gift to teach. But the pastoring, the whole picture of a pastor is really the picture of a shepherd. The implication is a personal touch. There are sometimes those who don't want to have any personal involvement with the people. They love the pulpit ministry. They like to get up and address the crowds. And they like to minister in a collective sense. But then they don't really have any desire to connect with people on a personal level. If that's the case, I highly doubt that someone's really called to the ministry. At least the pastoral ministry. They can't be, because part of it is a personal touch. So we don't merely just, you know, stand in a pulpit and give an oration, but we have to make contact with people. Touch people, get involved in their lives, get to know them, pray for them, things of that nature. Over the years, I've seen a lot of guys in ministry develop the sort of the us against them mentality with the congregation. And they put a large buffer zone between them and the people. And you can never get to the pastor. There's 10 guys at least between you and the pastor before you could ever even begin to approach him. And I've had people say to me, in regard, you know, to the ministry, that they don't mingle with the people. It's dangerous, they say. You can really get hurt. Well, that might be true, but that's okay. Vulnerability is part of it. It goes with the job. So it is that personal touch, tending, and then thirdly and finally, to shepherd the flock would be to lead them. Some people are good at teaching, and they're even good with a personal touch, but they don't have any vision, so they're not leading, really. And people sit week after week, month after month, year after year, and they're getting the right information, and they're feeling loved, but they never have any sense of real direction or vision, or, you know, they're not sort of prompted or motivated to get out and serve the Lord themselves. And I've seen guys who are good pastors and good teachers, but yet lacking leadership, and the church doesn't really develop the way it potentially could. So I think these are the three ingredients that go into effectively shepherding the church of God. And so Paul calls them to do that. And then he says in verse 29, he says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." That had to be heart-wrenching for the apostle to anticipate that that would happen in the future. And of course, it did happen. And of course, it still does happen today. You know, when you have pastored a church, when you've sort of taken care of God's people, and then maybe the Lord does call you to move on, that's one of the big things, one of the big struggles is, you know, as you're passing this thing on to somebody else, are they going to take care of it? Are they going to, you know, it's like having a baby and then giving it to somebody else to raise. And, you know, again, I can identify with the apostle here. And yet there is a point where you have to just entrust people to the Lord. But I think even more sadly than savage wolves coming in among them, and that's quite a description, isn't it? Paul's talking about some ferocious beast. But even sadder is also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. That is really the saddest thing to ever happen in a church. Tons of churches split. You've heard of church splits, I'm sure. And generally they split because someone in leadership, in the fellowship, rises up and begins to draw away disciples after themselves. And it is a very sad thing that does occur. But Paul says, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I love verse 32. It's one of my favorite verses. You know, it's interesting. Shortly after the apostolic age, things really changed in the church because the men that succeeded the apostles or came after them, they did not have the same confidence in God that the apostles had. And so what they did is they developed what was called the bishopric. And what they began to do shortly after the apostolic age is that they began to sort of break the churches up into districts and to put men over groups of churches. You see, in the Bible, the bishop is the overseer of a local church. But shortly after the apostolic period, the leaders in the church at that time, instead of following the apostles' example and commending the people to God, trusting God with the church, they said, oh no, this is going to go south if we don't put some safeguards in. And so what they did is they started to appoint these men to rule over various regions. Now, it seemed innocent at the time, and it was, and I'm sure their motives were pure and right and good. But if they could have only seen what it developed into, it became what is known as the papacy. It became the rule of the Bishop of Rome. It became the Roman Catholic Church, ultimately. And one man ruling all over all of Christendom, over all of the entire world. The Bishop of Rome was, of course, the likely candidate to oversee the whole thing because he was in the imperial city. So what more important city was there at the time than Rome? There was no more important city. So eventually the Bishop of Rome got the top job in the church. But it never should have happened that way. But it did happen because those guys couldn't do what Paul did right here. Paul's leaving, and he doesn't say, okay, now I've got to, you know, put in some safeguards. Listen, you guys, you know, you're going to be pastoring your churches, but I'm going to leave a few people here, and they're going to really be in charge. No, Paul was wise. He said, brethren, I commend you to God. Paul knew that ultimately he had to trust God with the church. And that's one thing that a lot of men have not been able to do. Haven't been able to trust God with the church. And so they keep holding on to it, and they keep their influence there, and they keep, and you know, there comes a place where you just have to say, Lord, it's your deal. And that's what Paul did here. But he says, I commend you to God and listen to the word of his grace. That's all we need. That's all every Christian needs. That's all any church needs. We need God and his word. If we've got God in his word, we've got all we need. Now he says, notice, he says, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. The word of God, again, we see the importance of it. The word of God is able to build you up. That's what it does. It builds us up. It increases our faith. It makes us strong. It causes us to grow. And so Paul says, I'm just turning you over to the word, to the Lord and his word. And I'm confident that if you've got God and his word, you'll be just fine. And we are confident of that as well. He says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul was just a great example of a servant of God. He said, I've been with you 3 years. I haven't been here for the money. I've coveted no one's silver or gold. As a matter of fact, you know that I've worked myself. You know, there's so much skepticism among people about Christians today, and about especially about, you know, church leaders and, you know, all of that. And so often the charge is that, oh, they're just in it for the money. And what a great thing it is for, you know, people to set an example where it's obvious that this isn't about the money. One of the great things about the time that we spent in England was that because of the generosity of people here, we were able to serve the Lord there and pioneer that church without ever taking a single penny from the ministry there. And it was such a wonderful thing to just, you know, if there was ever any accusation, no one could ever accuse us of being in it for the money because we never took any. And Paul set such a great example in that. And so when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Lord, we thank you for this great example that you've given us in your servant Paul. And Lord, just as he's recorded for us his own ministry among the people of Ephesus, so many things for us to glean from, so many things for us to learn. And we thank you that these things are written here, that we can discuss them together, that we can meditate on them. Lord, we really want to commit ourselves to finishing the course. Lord, may we, like Paul, not be moved by anything that would seek to knock us off course. May we stay the course. Help us, Lord. Lord, help us to realize that if we count our lives dear to ourselves, then we'll never attain to the thrill that awaits us when we totally give ourselves over to you. So help us, Lord, just to, in some ways, throw caution to the wind, knowing that you're going to catch us, knowing that underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord, may we have the same confidence in you that was demonstrated by Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and all the rest of them. Lord, may we realize today in a fresh new way that you are our God, just like you were their God, and that you, Lord, are working, that you're active in the lives of your people, that we can, Lord, expect you to speak to us. We don't have to be ashamed to say, the Lord spoke to me. We believe that you speak. We want you to speak. Lord, give us an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying. So, Lord, as we go now our separate ways, Lord, work your work of grace in us. May we remember that we were bought with a price. We're not our own. And may we glorify you in our body and our spirit, which belong to you. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
We'll continue with more encouragement in our next lesson to not be distracted or detoured by the obstacles that creep into our lives. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, "None of These Things Move Me." Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3136. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.